Let's chop it up with Wes Durham, guys, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He joins us right now here on the show. And, Wes, you know, we were talking with Coach about the mistakes from last week and cleaning stuff up, and he was talking about the penalties. You know, you always go back and look at a game and you go, all right, if this happens, right, we're in a different spot.
Right.
He kind of laid that out to us. Heading into this Tampa game, I feel like, you know, again, we'll regroup. We'll be ready for Sunday. And it's a big one for us considering another division game and a chance to really take control.
Well, the landscape of it, Carl and Mike, is huge. I mean, because you go to 4-0 against the division with two left, and the last one's not going to be the Panthers until the final game of the regular season. You go to New Orleans, I guess it's third week in November. You know, you get down there, and now all of a sudden you're starting to look at, you know, the value of games like the Giants, the Cowboys that follows, things of that nature, to kind of salt this thing to maybe put yourself in a position to where you can have this thing. You know, at least you're in the tournament, right? That's the key thing. Remember, only one team gets the bye now, but you're in the tournament, and that's a pretty good feeling. And look, the injury thing in Tampa the other night is just, especially for Godwin, is just really heartbreaking, right? And then Mike Evans being out till the bye, things like that. But you're playing these guys on a second time already. This is not your first time seeing them. You're not going to see Mike Evans the rest of the year. So you got to take advantage of another guy's tough spot. But that's the scary part about Tampa, because when you start looking at what they've done the last two games running the ball, now all of a sudden maybe they can change personality to offset the loss of two really, really talented guys offensively.
It's our man, Wes Durham. Yeah, we were talking about it with Coach, and as he says, just when you think, you know, okay, you got this one locked up. I mean, heck, we went down there. Remember last year we beat him, and that was when Desmond Ridder had those three fumbles inside the 20. We found a way to win, and then Baker comes back and then lights it up against us at Mercedes-Benz. So you're right. You never know which way the story is going to go. Wes is with us on the WaitFor.com hotline, but I do think watching what the Ravens did, and boy, was that something. That was impressive, but I'd love to see us run the ball. I've got no problem, Wes, getting back to one of those, you know, 300-yard combined rushing days off a 500-yard passing game.
Well, and it's interesting, Mike, because if you go back and take the Carolina game and then Saturday's game, you know, you go to the Tampa game, which was, you know, the Thursday night game where Kirk threw for 500, right? And then you see the Carolina game. That's two different offensive structures, right? Look at the way Atlanta ran the ball against the Panthers after throwing the ball against the Buccaneers. Well, now, because of the way Tampa's set up, who knows how it's going to go? But I would agree with you. I think you've got an opportunity maybe to get out and run the ball a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see how the Buccaneers handle it. I mean, they are still, you know, 19th against the run, 30th in yards per carry defensively. So, you know, when you start kind of breaking things apart here, there's still these little, you know, kind of tabs in the road that you've got to be able to pass and hold on and take control. And I think that's where Atlanta finds this game. They're not coming off their best effort. We all understand that. Some of it's self-induced, you know, unforced errors, turnovers, things of that nature. Some of it, tip your hat to the Seahawks and move on. But I think where Atlanta finds itself is, this is the kind of game right here that if you win the game, it can pretty much put you in a spot to where everything is in your reach still. And I think that's kind of what Raheem and his team have been building on based on, you know, the way they've talked since camp started in August.
Wes, we were talking with Coach also about all the movement around the NFL. Does it surprise you? We're seeing a lot of teams making moves for trades and whatnot and trying to improve. I mean, hell, the Chiefs today went out and got D-Hop to improve that wide receiving core.
Yeah, the D-Hop move, where I think it's a 5 or it's a 4 and it's a 3 if they go to the Super Bowl or something of that nature. You know, Kansas City's just out to, you know, they want to run the house on this, Carl. I mean, you go find a way to get that done. And DeAndre, last time we saw DeAndre Hopkins, he was playing for the Titans, and Will Levis threw 3 touchdowns to him, right?
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so DeAndre Hopkins clearly is going to be playing with a better quarterback than he was in Nashville. I mean, but you're also seeing moves, too, like, you know, what Devin White just got signed, right? He just signed up with somebody, Houston, I think.
Texans.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, and so that means the Texans are trying to get there. I don't know that Atlanta necessarily has to do anything of that nature, but what Atlanta has to do is make sure that they're going to be able to get back whole as much as possible. And when I say get back whole as much as possible, that's Troy Anderson. That's also DeMarco Helms, by the way. You know, when do we start to get a feel for where DeMarco Helms might be in a potential return here? Because if you can sort some of that stuff out, I think that's a pretty valuable piece going down the stretch, and you don't have to risk kind of the remainder of your season or potentially any kind of 25 money by making a trade here late.
Yeah, Wes, we were talking about it with Coach. We're going to replay that interview for our audience about, you know, do you have the solution in the building? Because you just mentioned other teams are making moves, and it's not up to Major League Baseball, but we're getting more action. We're getting more action earlier than we've seen in years past with the NFL. So I look at the roster and you say, you know, where is that guy? Because Ebiketie, we've talked about. Today we even asked Coach about Zach Harrison, who we thought, you know, showed some signs of maybe elevating his game in the offseason.
Yep.
But it's just not translating to getting the quarterbacks on the ground.
Well, and that's a fair fight, Mike, and you're right. I mean, it's not, and I know they're disappointed in it. But is there a magic bullet out there that you can take right now? I mean, I've been asked one way or another about Max Crosby till I'm blue in the face. I mean,
right.
I just don't know that financially that's a win for you, right? I mean, and the last thing we need to do around here, you guys know this, you were here when it happened, the last thing we need to do out there is go hedge something on somebody like Ray Edwards, right? I mean,
yes,
you don't need to do
exactly.
that again. Yeah. I knew I could get Bell. Carl, I knew I can hear the laugh knowing that I got Bell with that one, right? Don't
well,
you know,
no.
pull
you,
that one.
In the
me,
old
right?
days, in the old days of the coaches show, when we'd play it, I would walk around. We used to do it during the show, Carl. So I was walking around the facility here. They have a walking path. And Ray Edwards out there in the middle of the field by himself. And the next day, he quits football. So, yeah, that's not what we're looking for. Not what we need.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
that's
reflecting.
Not rushing the past, Mike. Yeah.
Wes Durham joining us. Wes, here's the deal. As we talk about the Falcons and the Bucks coming up Sunday, Wes,
sure.
obviously, Dave will have the call for you guys. I just want to really just get into some college football with you because you're calling games around the country. And
sure.
this thing is starting to get interesting now, right? I mean, we've seen some interesting matchups. We're going to see more, whether it be Big Ten, SEC. It's going to shape out. It's going to shake out, and things are going to happen where we'll have a clear understanding of what this is going to look like. The playoff committee meets next week, and they'll start those rankings. Tell me what you think about, you know, Oregon being one, obviously Georgia's two, but
sure.
I'm curious about the ACC, and we went from, or at least I did, thinking maybe one, to Clemson and Miami could get in, right?
Oh, sure, Carl. Look, I mean, let me kind of take you inside a little bit of the ACC. They've got a tie-breaking procedure now for their championship game. Every conference has this, by the way, that doesn't have divisions, okay? So, and some are a little different in the granular sense than others. But in the case of the ACC, right now you've got Pitt, SMU, Clemson, and Miami are all undefeated in the league, right? And any possible scenario that plays out right now, two of those four, let's say, would go to the championship game. Well, in some of the, you know, codicils, if you will, of the tie-breaking procedure, you got to go 4 and 5 steps down to clear if you have three undefeated teams. And some of the, you know, processes and policies of those tiebreakers get down to something called, you know, winning record of common opponents. Well, just to give you a hypothetical here, if that ends up being SMU, Miami, and Clemson, Carl, it's possible that Miami won't go to the championship game.
Mm.
So then what happens, right?
Right?
So how does that play itself out? Because Miami might be undefeated through the regular season, but they lost the tiebreaker and they're not going to go to the championship game. So think about that, though, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about that and take it across to, I don't know, 3 or 4 one-loss teams in the SEC. Common opponents, winning record, common ground. I mean, what happens, right? I don't know the SEC's tie-breaking procedure. We're going to run into this. It's going to happen. It's going to – this is why the 12-team idea is really good, because what you're going to find is we're going to have 5 or 6 teams for 2 spots. That's the way it's going to work. You're going to have 5 or 6 at the back end of these at-large pools once we get through the automatics, right? You're going to have 5 or 6 teams – for maybe 2 spots. And whereas Florida State was disappointed a year ago, you're going to have 3 or 4 that are disappointed this year because they didn't get a chance. I'm just kind of telling you the ACC story to let you know that I think it could happen in the Big 12. I think it could happen in the SEC. I think it can certainly happen in the ACC as well.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Indiana, you just laid out some great scenarios there. Who's going to get in these championship games, what the head-to-heads are going to be. And certainly, you know, Notre Dame will be there as a monkey with a wrench to be in there. That's why I think, Wes, we're going to have 1 year of 12, and then next year we're going to jump right to 16 teams.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Mike. I don't know. I think you got to get – I think you're going to have a couple of years of 12 before you get to 16. But
really?
Because
okay.
I think they've got to look at the calendar a little bit, and they've got to work on the grid here. And we've got to back up the regular season. Okay, we haven't done that yet. The regular season has to be backed up if we're going to go to 16 teams in the playoffs.
And it's just too much money. That's the thing. They're just going to see such a windfall with these big matchups you're talking about. And
well,
high-ranked
and
teams.
Also,
and, you know.
Yeah, and the thing I would also add, too, and this is a bigger picture we can tackle in the spring if you guys want to, you've got to get the scheduling worked out to where it's congruent, even though some leagues might play 8 and other leagues might play 9, right? And ultimately, there's some long, rich, traditional non-conference games that are going to have to be discussed and how they fit. And, yeah, I'm talking about the 4 SEC-ACC rivalry games. Mm. You know, what do those look like in a world? Now, it helps that the ACC and SEC have the same television partner for the time being. But what do those look like in the next 10, 12 years? And how does the Big Ten handle the, you know, the MAC thing that they've done for so many years? You follow me? I mean, it just it invites more conversation to where really, and then, oh, by the way, the overriding structure of how college athletics is going to be governed, which is totally another show.
Right on.
That's true.
A lot of moving parts.
Wes, we got to run, man. Great stuff as always. Make sure you listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wes and Dave will have all of the action as we take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Falcons, and Bucks. Big division game on Sunday. Wes, have a great call. Thanks so much.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. And by the way, congratulations to Steve Holman on 3,000 tonight. That's awesome.
Amazing.